your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We are continuing our study in the topic of separation. And I don't know about you, this has been an exciting series for me. I think it's been enriching to you if you've been here for one or two or many of these. I'll promise you it's helped your Christian life. I promise you. I was talking with a preacher friend in a very distant state today via text, and I shared with him just a portion of the over spectrum of what I've taught in separation. He said, "Brother Bush, all of America needs to hear this." He said, "I wish you'd come to my church and give that." I said, "Nope, I'm not taking that many weeks away from my church. Not going to happen." But I am excited that tonight we're going to talk about something. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, look at me. We will come back to this passage, so leave your Bibles open. I'm going to refer to other passages that we won't turn to tonight because of time. I'm only going to spend one lesson on this, so listen up carefully. The devil was the chief musician of heaven before the fall of man, before the fall. If you went to Ezekiel 28, we'll not take time to turn there tonight. It talks about the king of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, not Brother Rogers, T-I-R-E, but the king of Tyre, which is Satan, and talks about thou wast in Eden and different things. And it says in Ezekiel 28, I think it's in verse 10, maybe verse 11, it talks about his tabrets and the pipes and the music that came out of him being the most beautiful. And it sets him up as the chief musician of heaven. Now, once Lucifer was cast out of heaven and those that followed him, that means much of the music that was intended for God left heaven as well. Now, stay with me. God made man. By the way, that means there was music before there was man. Okay? There was music before there was man. God made man to fellowship with him. Do you remember what I said? The purpose of separation is not a badge that you go around wearing saying, "Look at me, look at me." Separation is so that you can take things out of your life to get closer to a holy, righteous God and fellowship with him like he intended. That is the whole purpose of separation. It is not something that you put on. It's not a badge. It doesn't say, "Oh, look at me, I am a super Christian." No. Matter of fact, the closer you get to God, the less you feel qualified to be close to him. These charismaniacs that get up and say, "Well, I saw Jesus," and "look at me," and they start singing in tongues and talking in tongues and start making a show of things, that proves they didn't see God. Anywhere in the scripture, someone got close to God, they got on their face and said, "Woe is me," not "look at me." Okay? When they start saying, "Woe is me, I'm unclean," that's a person that's spiritual. The one that says, "Look at me," look the other way. You're in better shape, all right? Now, God made man to fellowship with him. God wants Christians to supply the music for him now. Now, let me show you something here. Our music is to praise, honor, glorify, and lift up God. We are, don't get too mad at me when I say this, we are like the devil when we listen to music for ourselves. Our music is for God, not for ourselves. Our music is to maybe encourage us so that we can praise God more through the music. But it's not just to pick us up. That music was intended for God, not for you. Everybody doing okay? Okay, we just not even barely through the first part of the introduction. If you're mad now, you're going to kill me later. God wants us to make up the difference for what Lucifer and his followers left from heaven. As I told you before, the devil doesn't care if he hurts you or not. He just wants to keep you from fellowshipping with God. He wants to keep you from fellowshipping with God because the devil's big tactic is to destroy God. He does not care if he destroys you or if he does. I hear so many Christians say, well, the devil's out to destroy me. He's not out to destroy you. He just wants to keep you from being close to God. That's it. He really doesn't care if he destroys you or not. Now, let me say this. The devil is smart enough to even know how to use music to draw people, praise, and respect away from God. The devil as a deceiver. That word deceive means he puts on an appearance of one thing, but he is something else behind the scenes. Now listen to this very carefully. I believe music is the most powerful tool the devil has. I believe that. Music was created by God, for God, to praise God, to love God, to adore God, to glorify God, and to uplift God. Music was not for man's sinful pleasure. It was to please God. And the devil has used music to steal that away from God and worship man with it. Now, listen to me very carefully. We're going to go back to something basic. Brother Smith, I'm going to use you up here just a little bit tonight. You stand over there. I'm going to stand here. This is where the Christian is supposed to be. God being right here. We're supposed to be as close as we can. If this is where God's at, who's on the other side of him? The devil, right? Okay, that's bad. This is good. Hey, we cast that one pretty well, didn't we? All right. Now, let me ask you a question. The whole purpose of separation is for us to get away from this, but not just get away from that and keep looking back at it. It's so that we can be close to this, looking at this, right? Remember Lot's wife? She came out and turned. I wished I was. She separated from, but did not separate to. Let me ask you a question. Where is your music in here? If this is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and this is the fullness of the devil's spirit, where is your music? That's my question. I'm not putting names to it. I'm not putting styles to it. My question is, where is your music in this line? Well, it's here, okay? You're halfway between the devil and halfway between God. I'm glad you're that far away, but there's a long way to go. Y'all see what I'm saying? Thank you. You can have a seat. Where does your music lie in reference to spirit-filledness? Where does it lie in reference to fellowship with God? That was number one. Number two, don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. We got a ways to go. Number two, music needs to be doctrinally or scripturally pure. The Bible says in Colossians 3, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Did you catch that? The words of Christ. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice how God says music will teach the word of God. That means there is doctrine involved. Everybody that sings specials here, you have to turn in a list of songs with a copy of the words and the music to Brother Bush before so I can approve it, not because I'm some mean ogre, but I read through every word to make sure the doctrine is pure. I do. I just got through a huge stack. My secretary knows. She's been getting it out to some of you this week, and I've been backlogged on it. You say, why? Because I don't just sit there and say, oh, yeah, I know that one. It's okay. No, I read through it. I read the doctrine to make sure that the doctrine is right. You say, why? If we sing wrong doctrine, we are lifting up the devil, not God. If I got up and said, turn in your Bible, and today we're going to use the NIV. Exactly. There you go, Brother Taylor. That's exactly what you ought to say. Say, that's bad doctrine. Then why will we get up and use bad doctrine in our music and listen to bad doctrine in our music? I'm as against bad doctrine in music as I am in the pulpit. Everybody okay? Okay. Our music cannot please God if its words go against God's words. It's that simple. There are certain hymns in our hymn book that all of the words are not scriptural, so we don't sing them. Now, that doesn't mean your favorite song is unscriptural, because we haven't sung it yet. Some of them I'm still trying to get everybody up to speed on, but there's some of them I'll say we can sing it, but we're skipping this verse because that one's not right. Everybody doing okay? You have to realize there's not, okay, I'm just going to say this again. Our music cannot please God if its words go against God's words. Do the words of your music line up with that book right there? By the way, I'm not just talking about the songs that we sing in church. I'm talking about your music. Okay, here we go. Number three. The music itself needs to be godly. Now, this is where I need you to listen to me. I am not probably what you would call an expert in music, but I understand music pretty well. I read both clefs. I've had college music theory. I've played several different instruments. I can keep up musically fairly well. The devil's music is fundamentally bad. I'm not talking about, now listen to me, I'm talking about the fundamentals of music. You talk to anybody that has studied music, they'll tell you rock music is the most base, uncomplicated, worthless music there is. There is no rhyme, reason, nor pattern to it. It's just get up and wail. Really. It does not take a lot of talent. It doesn't take a lot of work to play rock music or the devil's music. You say, why? Because you just get up and do whatever you want to do. I played trumpet for about 20 years, and I played a lot of trumpet music. I understand back in the 20s and the 30s with a genre of music called the free jazz. Free jazz, there's no such thing as written music. You just get up and play. That's why it invoked so many different emotions physically with people, because it was just all done by feeling. And it's honestly, it's very unreproducible music, and it's not great music. Now, listen very carefully. I'll try to describe this. There's a word used in music. It's called syncopation. Okay? Syncopation means you emphasize an off beat. Music's natural pattern in a 4-4 pattern goes 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. By the way, if you take your pulse, Mrs. Smith, you listen to pulses almost every day. A heartbeat follows that pattern. Strong beat, soft beat, strong beat, soft beat, strong beat, soft beat, strong beat, soft beat. It's always that boom, 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 boom. That's exactly what God intended our heart to keep the melody and the pattern for our music. Rock music goes boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. That's what keeps your adrenaline flowing. That's why your heart rate increases. It brings up the adrenaline in your body, and that's why when you listen to it, you get into this high mental, your rushed mentality. Because it's going against the natural beat of your heart. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there for a minute. The devil's music is empty of musical quality. Those of you that play music here, the hardest music in all the world to play, hymns and Christmas music. Am I right? Can I tell you why? It's spiritual music. The Bible says in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Those are the three most powerful types of music you can have. That means they are God's style of music. The devil's music is sloppy. Have you heard these idiots that try to sing the Star Spangled Banner at a sports event? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The sliding. Oh, see. I mean, they sound worse than, I better not use a name here. They sound worse than me. I mean, is all it is they can't hit a note, so they're going to slaughter the whole thing up and down the slide and just try to get there. Say why? Because they lack the ability to hit the note exactly. Some of what they call the world's performers are lousy musicians. Okay, here we go. There's what's called an exaggerated bravado or vibrato. The vibrato is you can hold a note, but it doesn't hold steady. It kind of goes like that. But in the world, they It's called an exaggerated vibrato. You say, why? Because they can't hold the note straight. So they've developed it into a style of music. I'm really going to get somebody mad at me tonight. I'm talking about the breathy styles. You get this a lot in your country western music. They get real breathy and sensual. They talk like this as they sing. Say why? Because they can't hit the note, so they'll just make it breathy. And the devil's style of music, by the way, we're not going to have that here. It might happen once, but you're going to be in the preacher's office in the next week talking to me, and we're going to fix some things. Say why? Because I want you to hit things right, God's way. We are not going to mimic the devil's style. God's music, by the way, that's down here at this level of music. God's level of music is pure music. It's exact music. It's solid. It's polished. By the way, I admire those of you that get up here and sing solos. God bless you, because I'm not doing it. And you're glad, and so am I. I've sung in groups before. I've sung in choirs. I've sung in ensembles. I've sang in quartets, but I'm not singing solos. If I sing a solo, it's going to be on a hill far away. Amen? I'm just not doing it. Say why? I'm a coward. Forget that mess. I'll stand up in here and talk for hours, but I'm not singing in front of everybody and make a fool of myself. But when you stand up here, attack the song. Hit it right. Practice it. That's why you need to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. Say, well, what if I make a mistake? Keep going and keep on hitting the song. We're behind you. You're not perfect. You don't have nail prints. You didn't resurrect. You're okay. You're doing better than we are. We're sitting here and enjoying it. Anybody that wants to criticize, I'll let them come up next week and see if they can do better. God's music has a natural rhythm, a natural beat to it. It has that strong downbeat and not exaggerating the upbeat, okay? Now, here we go. For those of you that have dabbled into what the world calls contemporary Christian music. The word contemporary Christian music, you can look it up if you'd like. It started in the 1970s. It came from the hippies and the Jesus freaks of the 60s and 70s. They didn't want the hippie movement's immorality, but they liked their music and brought their music into the what we call the Christian world. The contemporary Christian, by the way, have you ever looked at the modern Christian groups that are out there today? They look like the hippies of the 60s and 70s. Can I tell you why? They borrowed their music from them. Okay. Why do we want to use the devil's music and put good words to it? I don't understand that. By the way, the performers look and sound like the world, but they have a better message. I'm not going to get into a bunch of name calling here, okay? I could stand here for hours and list people's names, trust me. Probably the most famous, the one that crossed the line first and really was dominant in the 1980s, was a young lady named Amy Grant. They called it crossover music. Amy Grant went through the ranks of gospel music, and by the way, what I would consider contemporary Christian music. Then she decided she'd sing full-blown rock. Do you know that listed anywhere that you look under music, it will say Christian music, Christian contemporary music, includes Christian pop, Christian rock, Christian punk, Christian hardcore, Christian metal, Christian hip-hop. The term rock and roll has nothing to do with Christianity. It was started by some vile pervert in the 1950s, and I'm going to be very cautious here, parents, but it came about as a physical relationship issue. And they said, that's the kind of music that wants to make us do that. Look it up. What does Christ have with Belial? What communion hath light with darkness? By the way, you can't have Christian rock music any more than you can have a godly devil. Everybody doing okay? I'm only giving you the word of God. I'm not putting a lot of names to this thing. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I have 5 things I want to show you in Scripture. Get your Bibles ready. What does God say about the wrong music? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. We are going to fly through about 5 different things here, and I'm going to be done for the night. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I want you to look at verse number 5. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of, what's the last word? Fools. God said, it's better to get chewed out by a wise person than to listen to the songs of fools. Say, what is a fool? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So people whose music says there is no God and you are your own God, I'm talking Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus and all this other garbage that's out on the markets today, that people who do not believe in God, guess what? Don't listen to their music. That's what God said. People who rebel against the things of God. By the way, I think you ought to know, we just got added to a list according to the government. We are now terrorist extremists. They said evangelical Christians and people who teach that the Word of God is the Word of God are now considered extremists, just like Al-Qaeda are by our government. They wanted to use Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham. I thought, if they think they're extremists, I'm really in trouble. I'm so far past them, I'm beyond Al-Qaeda. On the other end, guess what? Music that conveys rebellion to God or God's word is the song of fools. Young people, your music should not go against God. Your young people, your music should not go against your parents, your church, what God stands for. By the way, parents, neither should yours. Okay, next. Turn to Isaiah, just a few pages to the right here. Isaiah chapter 24. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. God wrote it. This one, I'm sure I'm going to get about a half a dozen people mad at me on. Isaiah 24, verse number 9. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. Guess what? Music about drinking alcohol and music that you drink booze to, God says don't do it. Sounds like country western music to me, crying in your beer. I'm talking about bar music. I'm talking about music that's about drinking alcohol. By the way, what do we as Christians, how close to God can we get if we're listening about somebody else whore hopping and drinking booze? How close to God can you get right after that? Everybody doing okay? All right. Turn to Isaiah chapter 23. Go back a page. Yeah. Look at verse number. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong chapter already. Isaiah chapter 23. Look at verse number 15. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as an harlot. Music that promotes immorality. King of Tyre is the devil. The devil promotes immorality in his music. Everybody looking at me for a moment. Mamas and daddies, why in the world would you allow your kids to watch immorality or listen to it every day of their life and expect them to turn out pure? It's hard enough if you don't pump that in them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why do we want to bombard our own flesh as the country music talking about who's sleeping with who tonight increased in America? Guess what else increased? The divorce rate. We started listening to the songs of the harlots. Say, are you calling those people harlots? No, I'm saying the music of the harlot. We know there's an attire of the harlot. There's also a song of the harlot. By the way, if they're performing in the attire of a harlot, whether it's quote-unquote Christian music or not, we shouldn't be listening to it. That's why, scripturally, I have the right to say, if you're going to perform music here and help us in our church music, you should not be wearing the attire of an harlot. That's why I taught it in the order I've taught it for you. Not because I'm some mean ogre that I just don't like certain things. I have to stand before God for it. And the goal for you, if you're playing a piano or playing a trumpet or a harmonica or a git fiddle or whatever it is, if you're standing up here singing in a group or a solo, it's not for you to stand up there and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's to get up and say, God, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. One of our musicians told me recently, they prayed for days that God would use a song that they were going to sing. After church was over, a man in this church walked up to that person and said, I almost didn't come to church, but I'm glad I did because that was worth coming to church for. That helped me. That's the kind of music I want. I don't know about you. Say, is it perfect? It doesn't need to be if it's glorifying God. All right. By the way, music that is sexual in content or delivery. All the breathy stuff. All of the, let's sing like this as we sing to each other. Gag. Now, if we got a married couple's retreat going on and I got a married couple up here singing love songs, then we'll do maybe a little of that, but it's not going past that. Say, why? It's not going to happen in church that way, just so you know. Say, what would you do? Don't try me. I'm not afraid to get up and stop something in a hurry. Say, why? I got to answer to him. I really do. Say, well, I know people that have sung in your church that are not perfect. All of them are not perfect. Guess what? We're going to have people sing in our church that have fallen in the past. How many of you have fallen? Don't raise your hand. Say why? Because everybody's hand's going to go up. None of you are that good, just so you know. You still needed saved. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Here we go. Number four. Turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 31. By the way, I have studied music inside, outside, upside, downside. I've studied music since the early 80s when they did what was called in recording records, backmasking, and they would tape messages in reverse. Your mind hears reverse and forward at the same time, and subliminally, there were satanic messages emplaced into rock music. I could go through all this stuff with you. I'm not going to. I could go into the history of all this. I don't need to. We're going to look and see what God says about music and our separation. You just have to know this. Where does your music fall on this scale here? Is it closer to here? Or is it closer to here? Folks, you watch a church, and I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago. The first thing they change is their dress standards. After the dress standards change, the music standards change. Promise you. It'll start getting breathier. Start getting slidier. Start getting a little bit, we can afford to do one of those little more modern ones. All right, Deuteronomy 31. Everybody okay? Verse number 21. Deuteronomy 31:21. And it shall come to pass when many evils, troubles are befallen them. And I don't think that was the right verse. Hang on here. Let me see here. Somehow I wrote the wrong chapter down here. Give me a second. Okay, I am going to look at this one more time just to make sure. Did you ever have one of those moments? It's here. Shut up. I don't know where it's at. Okay, look at me. I'll tell you the story. It's in there. You can find it later and tell me I was an idiot, but that's okay. Do you remember when Moses was with Joshua in the mount getting the law? Came back, and as they came down the mountain, Joshua said, "That sounds like war going on." And Moses said, "No, I don't think it's war." He said, "I think that's music." And as they came down, Aaron had all of the Jews, they had broken off all their gold earrings and necklaces, thrown it into a pot, heated it up, turned it into a golden calf. The Bible says they were naked and dancing with the bad music around a golden calf, worshiping the calf. Okay? Notice that the Bible says that it was the sound of war. Confusion. Dissonance. Anybody who knows anything about worldly music, and I'll use the term rock music and in other styles, there's a lot of dissonance in the music. The chords don't match. And it's like somebody taking their fingers on a blackboard and going, "Kyah!" down the blackboard. All right? There's a lot of clashing of chords. Now, look at me, if you will. Songs that testify against thee. Okay, it's Exodus 32. I did find it. Look at verse number 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, whom they cried out of the rock that begat thee. Thou art mindful, the forgotten God formed thee. When they saw it, he abhorred him because of the provoking daughters. And I still don't think that's the right one. Good night. 31:21 is right. It shall come to pass, and many evils and all troubles are befallen them. This is the song that shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. That's it. Thank you, Brother Smith. I'm glad you're reading the Bible. I did earlier, just can't find it now. Now, I want you to notice the Bible says songs that testify against thee. Look at me. There's only one style of music, in my opinion, and it's a branch off of one other, that is more filthy and vile than what we call rock music. That is something called rap. Rap music has crawled straight out of the pit of hell and belched on America. I don't know how else to say it. What they call now artistic impression is the most vile, curse-filled, lousy, perverted garbage there is. I'm not afraid to say this. It is filled full of racism. And it is pervasive everywhere in our culture. You say, what is it? It's music that testifies against them. And please don't think that I'm a racist on this, because I am not. But for black people to get up and use the N-word 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 times in one song, it's okay. Now listen to this. But if we even hint that a black person should not get something because of their color, and by the way, I don't think color skin has anything to do with anything. But I hate to tell you, not every black person in the world was the son of a slave person. Fact of the matter is, in the South, through much of the South, a very large portion of slave owners were black before the Civil War. Study your history. Just because of the color of your skin does not give you the right to say you were a slave child. By the way, they don't use that word in a good way in rap music. Just so you know. By the way, just because you're white doesn't mean you deserve something either. I don't care if you're white, black, green, purple, or chartreuse. Your soul has no color. It does not matter what color you are. Everybody doing okay? But why do we let our music testify against us? Those very people, listen to this statement. Okay, today's the big march they did in D.C. for the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's I Had a Dream speech. Now, I'm not here preaching for or against it. Why didn't they, if they played the rap music that uses the N-word there today, their music testifies against them. I'm being honest. I'm being very graphic right here, and I apologize, but I must say it. I don't, by the way, I will never play that kind of music in this church to even show you what's wrong with it. I'm not for playing wrong music to show you what wrong music is. We'll just keep doing the right music. You'll figure out the wrong. Well, I have a question about. Bring it by my office. We'll put it up against the Word of God and we'll see. Usually it never ends up in my office then. They already know. I'm okay with it. But I'm not about to show you that Linda Ronstadt shouldn't be up here singing, because she sang in the bar on Saturday night and goes to church and sings on Sunday morning. Everybody doing okay? God bless. What's her, Dolly Parton or whatever, supposed to be some Christian lady. I'm not against her as a person, but let me tell you, just because she sings gospel music every once in a while doesn't make her a good godly Christian. When you compare her to LLJ or LJ Cool or whatever these idiots are, it doesn't take much. Good night. We could put some of our politicians next to the devil and they would look like a Christian. Well, not some of them, but most of them. Now, folks, if your music is about cheating on your spouse, your music testifies against you. If your music goes against the word of God, your music testifies against you. When the Jews were worshiping around the golden calf, they had music of war. That clashing. By the way, it was for a worship service. The charismatics music today is no different than the world's rock music was. It's worse than the Beatles were in the early 1960s. Some of you that are my age or younger, you don't remember the Beatles. Go back and look at a picture of the Beatles. Most of them are dressed better and have cleaner haircuts than what we call Christian groups today. And parents were throwing a fit because of the way they wore their hair. The old timers know what I'm talking about? Okay, help me now. I'm on an island all by myself. That means this. Your music, whether it says it's Christian or not, can draw you away from God. Brother Smith, would you stand there? I'll stand here. Here's my question. Where is your music in this line? That's all I ask. Where is it? Compare your music to this line and tell me where it falls. That's all I ask. Have a seat. How's the music's words to your songs? Where does it compare? How about the style of music? Where does it compare? How about, is it the song of fools? Is it the song of the drunkard? Is it the song that promotes the harlot? Is it the song that testifies against you? Is it the music of war? Turn to the verse I wanted you to see for the end, and I'm done. I'm only picking one verse to be done with. But when you get saved, God says this. Look at Psalm 40, verse number 3. Psalm 40, verse number 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Has God put a new song in your heart and in your mouth? And because of that, are many going to fear and trust him? Well, we got to reach the young people. We got to use their music, and we'll go back and use their music and use their styles, and we'll put God's words to it. Puke. Sorry, vomit. Barf, whatever you want to say. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before our music director gets up here in a, what do you call those, turtleneck shirts. And we take the pulpit out of the way, and he's got his backup pimps behind him doing the doo-wops, leading the church in praise and worship service. By the way, Baptist churches are doing it all over the country. They're having their praise and worship service. It's not going to happen. Because why? He hath put a new song in my mouth, and they shall fear. Ooh, that doesn't sound like it's real happy, does it? Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I've studied. I know what it takes for people to get saved. It's a team effort. From the playing of the piano to the leading of the songs to the specials to the preaching of the Word of God. It's got to work together in sync. It doesn't mean that we plan every special with the sermon. But it's amazing how many times they go together. I promise you. Say why? Because that's the Holy Spirit. That's God's ability to do the rest of it. Huh. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. My question to you, separation in music. Where is your music? Does it praise and honor and glorify and lift up God and draw you closer to God? Or are you closer back to this end? It's up to you. I've only told you what the Bible said. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. If you need to use this altar, you may. Some of you might need to get rid of some music. If you need to get rid of some music, I've got music in my office. I will give you. I have legal copies of music that has been legally reproduced so that I can give it to you. I'll replace it. Where is your music?